We're turning to Matthew's Gospel in chapter number 6 in just a few verses. Matthew's Gospel and chapter number 6. We've been in a series in the first 7 chapters of the book of Matthew. And after that, then we're going to go to another series and we'll come back and do the next 7 at a future point in the will of the Lord. But we have been looking at Matthew's Gospel, and we've been looking recently at the Sermon on the Mount that the Lord Jesus Christ gave, and even more specifically at the Lord's Prayer, so-called, in Matthew 6, found there in verses 9 through to verse number 13. Now, verses 14 and 15 we really considered whenever we were looking at verse number 12, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And verse 14 really is a commentary on that, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So we've covered that as we were studying the Lord's Prayer. So we're leaving the Lord's Prayer at this time, and we're coming then to the third of the different religious activities that the Lord speaks about in Matthew chapter 6. In verses 1 to 4, he spoke about doing alms or giving or serving. And then from verses 5 down to verse 15, he spoke about prayer. And now in verses 16 to verse number 18, he speaks about fasting. And that's what our focus is this morning, about prayer and fasting in Scripture. And it says in verse 16, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for bringing us this portion of God's word. And as we've been going systematically through Matthew's Gospel, we thank thee, Lord, for every lesson we've learned. For every time, Lord, thy voice of rebuke was heard in our heart. For thy voice of instruction was heard. Thy voice of encouragement and thy voice of comfort. We pray today, Lord, that will give us understanding about what we've read. And we pray, Lord, that there'll be a word in season for each of us. And we ask thee, Lord, that you'll make us people who love the word of God and delight to do thy will, O God. Lord, empty me of self and sin today and fill me with thy spirit. Give me help in the preaching of thy word. Bless those who would listen. May they hear above my voice the voice of God. May they be instructed in the way which the Lord would have them to go. O Lord, save us and preserve us from man's thoughts, but give us God's truth. And help us, O Lord, to be obedient to it, and in being obedient, be a blessed people. Bless us now, we pray. Take away all distractions, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen and amen. Whenever we think of fasting in the Bible, there are various places. And what I want to do today is look at this from 3 different angles. I want us to look at the background of fasting in the Bible. And then I want to look at some examples of fasting in the Bible. And then I want us to look specifically at verses 16, 17, 18 as we bring our time to a close, which gives us guidance on fasting from the Bible. Now, the first thought is the background of fasting. The first mention of fasting in the Bible is whenever Moses went up into the mount, called by God to go up into the mount for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, we have information further on in Scripture because we know that he went up into the mountain in Exodus 24, but in Exodus 34, we have further information that tells us what happened there. And it says that he did neither eat bread nor drink water. And while he was there in the presence of God, he didn't eat bread or drink water. He testifies himself in Deuteronomy 9, "When I was gone up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Lord God made with thee, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water." Now, what we learn from the very first fast, or time of fasting in the Bible, is something that I believe really is at the very heart of all true spiritual fasting. Moses was in the presence of God in a way that no other earthly man had been or has been. Because when Moses came out from the presence of the Lord, his face radiated. And people couldn't look upon his face because his face was shining, having been in such close proximity with God. And because of this close proximity with God, and because the Lord was giving him these commandments and instructing him how to guide the people, he was in sweet, close fellowship with God. The things of time really seemed to leave his mind. He wasn't as concerned with eating and drinking as he was about listening to God and being instructed by God and fellowshipping with God. And really, that is what a fast ought to be in many ways. It ought to be that we're so taken up with the Lord that we forget about eating, we forget about drinking. That we take time to go on and to go through with God. A woman could spend an hour in prayer and it seemed to her like just a few moments. That's what it is to be in the presence of God. A man can open the Bible and read and study for a prolonged time, maybe even past what normally would be his meal time. That's what it is to be taken up with the presence of the Lord. It means really a time when the spiritual is more important than the physical. Now, one thing I will say is this. Moses didn't always have this experience. Moses' life was not a life of continual fasting. But there was this time in his life when the Lord drew near and he was near God. And he took this time to fast. But what a blessing came from that time of fasting. When he came down the mountain, he had in his hand literally the word of God written on stone. The law of God, the word of God, the Ten Commandments. We know that Moses talked with God as he was up the mountain. And therefore, prayer and fasting are often combined in Scripture. Now, there is a further mention of fasting. If you turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23, we'll see it there. It's not actually the word fasting that is used here, but I'll show you in a few moments why Bible commentators believe that that's what is meant. The Lord has given instruction about special days and memorials and services, and here he's talking about the Day of Atonement, that one day of the year that was a day of national repentance for Israel. And it says in verse 27 of Leviticus 23, on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in the same day. Now there's two things we have to think about there. First of all, that phrase, to afflict your soul, that is a phrase that is used elsewhere in Scripture in relation to fasting. And I'll just read the verse to you. It's Isaiah 58, verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, they say, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labours. So that statement, to afflict your soul, means to fast. And to really cause your body a little discomfort, because you're spending time in spiritual matters and getting through with God. I would also note here in verse number 28 of Leviticus, and ye shall do no work in that same day. To fast from something is to deny yourself something. And therefore you can deny yourself food, you can deny yourself water, but you can also deny yourself other things. You can deny yourself maybe labours. You can deny yourself time spent in other things simply for the reason you want to spend time and devote time to the Lord. So here, the people on this day were not to work. They were not to do the natural daily chores of the home or of the businesses. They were simply to stop that and spend time thinking about and in the presence of God. And you know, sometimes it may be that the Lord will so speak to our heart that maybe, yes, you have things to do, but you leave them aside for a few hours or for a day to spend time in the presence of the Lord. Have you ever thought that you can fast, yes, of course, from food, but you can fast from the daily chores of life? But what about fasting from things like television, music, the internet, your phone? Often, maybe it could be whenever you're doing your readings, your script, your phone's sitting here and you can see it light up or whatever. What about putting your phone away for an hour and coming to the Word of God? Fasting from the daily things and the natural things or the physical things and seeking the spiritual. The Day of Atonement was the day of national confession and repentance. And to afflict the soul is to humble yourself. And that's what it was. It was a day of humbling oneself before God. And this was done by the act of self-denial. No food, no drink, no work. Nothing to occupy your mind other than the fact that I'm coming before God and asking forgiveness for my sin and for the sin of my nation. And that was what the fast was indeed intended to be for. They were to consider that day something very special. That day, they were to consider that the high priest was going to kill an animal and take its blood in a basin, and he was going to go into the place that no one else was allowed to go. He was allowed to go in once a year, and he went into the very Holy of Holies and sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat. What was he doing in that day? He was doing something that was a picture and a foreshadow of the work that the Lord Jesus Christ would do upon the cross of Calvary. When the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. That meant that access was now opened into the very presence of God. And the Lord himself tells us he went through the veil into heaven with the blood to make atonement for our soul. So in other words, on the Day of Atonement, as the people looked at the work of the high priest there, they were seeing the work of Christ being presented before them. And that would remind us that in the day of fasting, our thoughts are not just to be thinking about anything, but rather they're to be on the work and the person and the promises of Christ. Now, it's interesting to note that there was only one fast commanded per year in the Jewish calendar, and that was the Day of Atonement. And that was the only fast that we see the Lord commanded them to make. In fact, in Acts 27, it speaks to the fast now already passed. And that is speaking about the fast, the Day of Atonement. But the Bible teaches, of course, that there are other times when people fasted. Many of these times were blessed by a special move of God. And therefore, when people were led and felt that they desired to fast, they did so. And the reason they did it was to have a right focus with God and to take time just to get aside from everything, even their food and their drink, to come into the presence of God and to plead with God. Now, there are various times recorded in Scripture of fasts that took place. I'm just going to read these out to you for time. Judges 20 and 26, from sunrise to sunset. In 1 Samuel 31, 13, 7 days of a fast. In Daniel 10 and 3, 3 weeks of a fast. 1 Kings 19 and 8, 40 days of a fast. In Zechariah, it speaks of the 5th and the 7th month they fasted. In Zechariah 8, it speaks of the 4th, the 5th, the 7th and the 10th month that they fasted. And the complete climax of this is whenever the publican and the Pharisee were in the temple. And do you remember what the Pharisee said? Lord, thank you, I'm not like this publican. What did he say? I fast twice in the week. The God had only given one day that they had to fast. But this man had gone above and beyond, and he was fasting twice, or he said he was fasting twice in the week. And therefore, that seems to be the climax of it all. Now, the reasons for the fast are also varied. There are times whenever people fasted over sin, sorrow over sin. And that was a humbling of oneself. I'm just going to read Daniel chapter 9. And 3, I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. If you're wondering what we need to pray on behalf of our nation, this week of prayer, we could pray those words for word. Seeking the Lord in connection with sin. Our land is so sinful today. When was the last time you even prayed? Never mind missed a meal to spend time in prayer for the land that you live in. Then for seeking God in difficult times, people fasted. In the time of battle, or even in defeat of battle, We read in Judges 20 and 26, all the children of Israel and the people went up and came unto the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening and burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord because they were defeated in battle. And sometimes we are defeated. Friends, does it break us enough to get on our knees and cry unto the Lord? In times of bereavement, whenever Saul and Jonathan died, we're told in 2 Samuel 1:11, David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and they wept and they fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel because they were fallen by the sword. In the time of bereavement, they prayed and they fasted. In the time whenever bad tidings or bad news comes, remember that time in the book of Nehemiah, whenever Nehemiah was given that awful news, and it says Nehemiah 1:4, it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Why was he mourning? Because Jerusalem, the city of God, the testimony of God, was in ruins. Does it ever grieve us that the testimony of the church, and I mean the church, the universal church, the church of Jesus Christ, is often in ruins, the testimony of it? Because people who call themselves men of God go against God's word. And therefore, in the world's eyes, the church isn't really what it ought to be. It's not scriptural. It's not uniform throughout all the different denominations. My friend, we need to pray and get before God that the Lord will move, raising up faithful men to preach the word, faithful congregations to obey the word. Then also, whenever there was a feeling of great threat came upon the land, the people prayed and the people fasted. Turn with me, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and this is a very important passage of God's word for this subject matter, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And it says there in verses 1 to 4, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon with them all there beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. Behold, they be in Haz, Azon, Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together and asked help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then go down to verse number 12. And they said, O God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in their hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Verse number 12. O Lord, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on thee. Our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Folks, Steve and I was saying about that before our prayer meeting this week. It's not just for the senior members of this congregation. It's for families. Families to come and seek the face of God. What was the result? Verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, son of Jael, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. God came down when the people prayed. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them, and behold, they will come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And you need not to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Friend, you know all the people had to do was turn up. Turn up and the Lord would take care of the rest. And friend, that's what we need to do. We need to turn up to time of prayer. We need to turn up and seek God's face. We need to turn up when God says, be here, do this, do that. And then God will do what we cannot do. No Christian, no believer truly can pray to the Lord or expect this land to be changed if he is not willing to turn up and join in with the prayers of God's people for the land. We need to, yes, have an expectant heart, but we need to have a sensible, wise heart where we're praying before we're expecting. There are many believers and they're expecting these things to happen. They're not praying for them. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Pray. Seek the face of God. Take that time to be spiritual and think the spiritual things and then expect the blessing of God to come. So it's not about the background in the Bible. Very quickly, I just want to leave with you the examples of fasting in the Bible. In the New Testament church, the leaders of that work, they set themselves to prayer and fasting. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And as the men of that work prayed and fasted together, in other words, they took time out over the course of what would be their meal times, and they took time out to pray and fast, the Lord gave direction for the work. Not only that, as a nation, the people fast that we remember, we read there in Esther about their desire was to try and avert catastrophe. There was destruction of the Jews coming. The law had been passed. It seemed as if there was no way for it to be changed, but God's people came. Folks, we're living in a day when the law has been passed. And it seems that there's no way for it to be changed. If God's people come together, God can do anything. Are you serious about wanting the laws of our land changed? Are you serious about wanting revival? Are you serious about wanting your family and your friends saved from hell? Well then, friend, come together and pray. Let's seek the face of God. But you know, there was a fast that wasn't accepted before God. And he said, although they fast, in Jeremiah 14:12, I will not listen to their cry. And this is where we have to explain and cause you to remember that fasting in itself is not some special thing. It's not the fasting that is the special thing. Fasting doesn't move the hand of God. But the fact was that during the time that they were fasting, they were engaged in prayer. That's what moves the hand of God. And the more you pray, the more the Lord will move. But remember, that must be sincere prayer. That must be sincere time spent in the presence of God. You might go for days without food but sit and watch TV the whole time. That's not fasting in spiritual regard because you're not spending the time with the Lord in prayer. And the Word of God tells us in Zechariah chapter 2, and let's turn to it because this really is a wonderful lesson to us as we think about it. Zechariah chapter 2, just before the book of Malachi. Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 12, verse number 4. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, will smite every horse of the people with blindness, and the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts their God. And in that day will I make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about. And on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. And in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, and the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass on that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and it shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And this is talking about the great blessings that the Lord has promised for the obedient of the Jewish people. And in future days, this is a future prophecy that as Jews would turn back to the Lord and look upon the one whom they pierced, and look upon the Savior whom they rejected, and their hearts are filled with bitterness, but there'll be a turning again unto God. And these promises were given, these wonderful promises. And yet we read in the Word of God that the people in the time of Zechariah, and we quote here, they refused to hearken. They refused to hearken. Because not only did God give promises, he gave instruction. And they did not follow in the ways of God. The people in Zechariah's day were fasting, but they weren't obedient to the Lord. The people in Zechariah's day were fasting and making offerings unto the Lord, but their heart wasn't right with God. And the sincerity of heart is the only way that God will hear our prayer. And in sincerity of heart, the great blessing of God will come down, just as it is promised here to the people in Zechariah's day. Anna in the New Testament, John the Baptist, our Savior, all took time to pray and to fast. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 16, here we're speaking about the Lord's instruction regarding fasting. Now, as I said, it's not fasting itself that makes the difference. It's the time spent in prayer. That's what makes the difference. James 5 and 16 says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And therefore, if we want to see the hand of God move, we need to pray fervently. We need to pray scripturally. We need to pray as clean vessels. And we need to pray continually. And in doing so, the Lord will bless in a mighty way. And what a blessing it will be on that day whenever, in a time of prayer, in a time of study, it's maybe coming up to breakfast time or dinner time or lunch time, or hunger comes upon you. And you think, no, I'm just going to stay here with God. I'm going to pray a little longer. I'm going to study a little more. I'm going to intercede for more people. And I'm just going to forget about those things because I love being in the presence of the Lord. This is a joy and this is a blessing. And therefore, as we fast, the idea is that our mind and our heart is devoted to the things of God. Seeking the Lord, reading his word, praying, obeying his commands, ceasing from normal activity, whatever it would be, to be dedicated in prayer and in the word of God. And therefore the seeker will continue to go through with God and devote his time to praying or reading the word and concentrating on the Lord despite what his body is longing for. He will give the spiritual more attention at this time than the body. So what are the guidelines for fasting? And here we have them. With this we're closed. First of all, we read, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face. First of all, private fasting is a private matter. Private fasting is a private matter. Just like prayer and the giving of alms, Scripture tells us not to do these in front of people, but to do it privately. Now, of course, as we serve the Lord, there are times that we have to do that publicly and with others. As we pray, we must do it publicly and with others. And in fasting, as a church, we have a day each year where which we call prayer and fasting. And between the morning service and the evening service, we do not go home for our dinner, but we just stay and we seek the Lord and we pray for that prolonged period of time, preparing our hearts before the Lord. So there are times where it's right to do these things publicly. But the thing was here, if it's between you, if it's a private thing, it ought to be between you and the Lord. Notice there in verse 17, the Lord tells the people to anoint themselves and to wash themselves. And that simply is speaking to the fact that personal grooming and hygiene are to be continued at this time, so you appear as inconspicuous as possible. So basically what he's saying is to wash your face, make sure you look clean, and to anoint yourself, or anoint your head, that simply with perfume or whatever fragrance that you're wearing, put that upon you. So it doesn't appear as if you're lying for days without food and not being washed or anything, but rather just go about your day as normal, as you would get up in the morning, and go out into the day as normal, so that you appear as inconspicuous as possible, because it's a private matter between you and the Lord. Now, there are practical implications of this. We do have a day of prayer and fasting in our congregation each year that will be coming up. And I know that there are some people with medical conditions cannot fast for a prolonged period of time. It would be dangerous to their body. They would pass out, or they would certainly things would happen in their body. Therefore, they need to be wise. I know the last time we were here, somebody said to me, it would be okay if I slipped out during the time of prayer and fasting to eat something, because I'll be on the ground, because medically I have to eat certain things at certain times and whatever. Of course that's right and that's wise. Of course that's proper. We have to be wise in the things that we do. So there are practical implications with this as well. Do not starve yourself to the point where you're ill. If you need certain foods or certain medications or certain things at certain times, take them. But continue to spend time in the presence of the Lord. That's the key. That is the key. But there was also here the abuse of the fast. And that was a great problem. The Pharisees were putting on an act. It said, not as a hypocrite. And a hypocrite simply means actor. Of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. And the implication is this, they weren't even fasting at all. Some of the Bible commentators say that they may have put ashes upon their face to appear ill, I suppose, from a lack of food, and they were going around with their faces disfigured and so hungry. Why? So that people say, oh, they're so spiritual, they're fasting all the time, they must be so close to God, or they must be really religious. And the people did say that. But notice what the scripture said at the end of verse number 16. They have their reward, and that's the praise of man. And you know what? The praise of man is like that. For a little moment. But the honour of God is eternal. A man can praise you one day and hurt you the next, but God will praise you for those things that you do in obedience to him, and bless you for those things that you do in obedience to him sincerely. Sincerely. And therefore, remember the attitude and the motive of the heart is really what the Lord is talking about in all three of these instances, in giving of alms, in the prayer time, in the fasting. And we know that there's instructions in each of these areas. We've been blessed in each of these areas as we looked at them. But the very first foundational stone must be a right attitude, right motivation, because if that's right, then everything else will be right. They were concerned about appearance, but the Lord was concerned about the heart. And then, finally, the blessings of the fast. Thy Father, verse 18, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Sincere worship in any form brings the sincere blessings of the Lord. And spiritually, when we pray or we fast or we do serve the Lord, whatever it is, we are strengthened. We are conformed to our Saviour's image. And we're filled with joy as we serve him. If you do something insincerely or without the proper motive, then you will not be strengthened spiritually. You will not be like your Saviour, and you will have no joy in doing it. Sometimes you get people and they're just fed up maybe with the service that the Lord has called them to. Well, the reality is
They need to get back to the Lord and pray for a sincere heart to approach the work that God has called them to. And then they will be strengthened. And then they will be conformed like the Saviour. And then they will serve Him and have joy within their heart. And therefore, while fasting is actually not commanded in Scripture to the New Testament Christian, it is something that at times we feel led to do. It's a good thing to do. It's good to take time aside with God. Whether that's aside from your television, whether that's aside from your phone, whether that's aside from food. Take whatever it is that would distract you out of the way and get alone with God. And I'll tell you, the Lord rewards those who diligently seek Him. And I know in our lives sometimes they're hectic and we can just about get a reading done or we can just about say a prayer. But I'll tell you, the more time you spend in the presence of the Lord, the greater the blessing will be. And that's why we're meeting as a church this week. That's why we're coming together to seek the face of God, to pray that the Lord would meet us at the point of our need. We're not coming to tell God what to do. We're coming to plead the promises of God that He has promised He will do in response to the prayers of His people. And therefore, let's come with that humble heart, with that excitement. If the thought, believer, of a week of prayer fills you with dread, then get before God and pray until it would bring delight to your soul. Dangerous territory if prayer fills you with dread. I trust and pray that in our lives we'll know those special times of setting ourselves aside, and God will bless.